My talk basically was a historical talk of what had been done in Uganda since 1987, when really the AIDS pandemic broke there, and to try to put it into context of the success of Uganda. And so that basically was my talk. And because in 1987, when, if you like, we'd come out of 17 years of war and upheaval in Uganda, we found we were in the midst of another war, which was against the virus. And already when we got our first testing machine to test for HIV/AIDS, we found that already there was 13% prevalence rate in Kampala. And that very quickly rose in the next 2 years, and it went reached among antenatal women up as high as 28% prevalence rate. And we really knew that we had a very big task on hand. At that time, people began coming into the country, promoting condoms as a way to prevent it, but many of us within the country felt this was not the way forward. And so therefore, a group of us from different African countries got together, and we said, what was the answer to AIDS? And we came up with a statement of belief which clearly said that we needed to look at behaviour and to bring about behaviour change. In other words, what was the root cause that was spreading this AIDS? And that people could change behaviour, and we needed to try and promote that. At the same time, the president of Uganda called some of us medical people together, and he wanted to know more about the AIDS. And he took a very positive approach, he said. And at a famous conference in Florence, he spoke, and he said, I want to call my people back to our time-tested culture of no extramarital sex. Young people need to be taught self-denial, control, and at times sacrifice. And he constantly promoted abstinence among the young people and faithfulness in marriage. And then there was a Uganda AIDS Commission was set up, which brought together 8 of the line ministers, the heads of the various churches in Uganda, and a few of us who are working in the field. And that formed the AIDS Commission, which was to draw up the policies for Uganda. And the number one policy in prevention in Uganda was behaviour change, to look at the behaviours that were fueling the disease and to bring about change. Some of us in the church developed a programme, and it was Sister Kay Lawler, who's a medical missionary, Mary Brock, came up with a programme called Education for Life, a Behaviour Change Process. And this is a process where we help young people to look at their lifestyle, to look at their behaviour, and not so young people as well, and to see where they're putting their lives at risk. You don't preach them or tell them what they need to do, but you bring them into a process where they discuss questions together, like what peer pressure has been put onto you, why are young people having sex, what do you do with your free time? And they work through different questions, and then that is in the first stage. And like, what happens at drinking parties, what happens at nightclubs? And you help them to realise where they're putting their lives at risk and what they need to change. And then the second phase, you look at alternatives. What if I remain a virgin or don't have sex before marriage? Or what if I remain faithful to my spouse? What will other people say? What will they think of me? And you help them to work through. And if you're working with people, say, that were prostitutes or were earning a living through sex, again, it's a case of sitting with them and providing some alternative, not just saying stop it because that's their livelihood and they've no other means, but how can I help them to have some other means of income? And so often it meant setting up small income generating projects and helping people in that area. And then helping people to make a commitment to abstain until marriage or to be faithful within marriage. And that program was very successful throughout different parts of Uganda. And as we worked through those programs, many young people started coming back to us and saying, but we need more. So we set up what we call Youth Alive Clubs. And these were positive peer groups, if you like, where young people came together. And it gave you a chance then to do further character formation around different aspects like honesty, like dating, like motivation, so that you helped to build them up character so that they were able to stand against the pressures of the world. So I think the things that really made the program work in Uganda was that you had good leadership from the government, led by the president and his wife. You also had the church and state working hand in hand together. And you had a lot of positive messages going out to people in the country.
And is that situation still there today in Uganda?
Yes, in the sense that there was, from 1991 onwards, there was quite a rapid decline from 28% prevalence rate down to a 6% prevalence rate. Unfortunately, in the last 2 years, there's been a slight increase again, and this is thing I think probably people got a bit lax and the messages weren't coming as much. So there's now another revived effort to continue to keep the pressure up to help people to really address the whole issue of AIDS.
And has this method or Youth Alive and the other way you're talking about abstinence, has that spread to other African countries?
Yes, it is now operating in 11 other African countries, and already in Zimbabwe and in Zambia and in parts of Kenya, it's beginning to show results.
So what would you like to see happen next?
I would like to see it spread to all the countries which are affected by AIDS, because I really do think that if we just stick on research, medical research has shown that in countries where AIDS is at an epidemic stage or pandemic stage, that just the promotion of condoms alone is not going to stop AIDS, and that we need to go much deeper. We need to look at the root causes of why it's spreading and to address those, and that the medical research has shown that like saying countries like South Africa, Botswana, who have really promoted condoms, they have not seen the results that we've seen in Uganda. As a matter of fact, it continues to rise in those countries.
And in the area of abstinence, has this idea been taken on, or the area of abstinence, by any Western countries?
Not that I know of, but I think it would be very good. It disappoints me when I see here in Ireland that we are going down the road of safer sex. My question is, safer than what? And the condom reduces the risk. Nobody will deny that. But what we really want is risk avoidance. And that is abstinence and faithfulness in marriage.